What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Already Did It, your movie podcast for sequels, reboots, adaptations, anything else that's been done once and is being done again to assess whether or not there are thematic reasons to do it, if it connects to the audience the way it connected before, or if we're just out to keep these IPs alive. As always, I am your host, Blake Schultz, and with me is Terrence Tatum.
Hello, everyone.
And this week we are doing Transformers Rise of the Beasts, the, I want to say, seventh movie in Transformers along with Bumblebee. One.
Yes.
Cool. So it's a fair amount of them. But after seven movies, I can say we are on the right track. I actually think there's a lot of merit to this movie that goes along with our podcast very well, of why we should revisit things and take a second look sometimes and see what works and doesn't work. But let's get into it. Terrence, what did you think of Transformers Rise of the Beasts?
Yeah, I mean, we took a long walk with this series. It's been around since
07 was the first one.
Yeah. And that first one at that time felt fun. It's all right, cool. This is something new, something new. And then as they got more and more Michael Bay-ish, they became less and less coherent, and a little bit more of just like the heartbeat of what sort of makes Transformers work, or at least what Bumblebee worked, was the heartbeat. And that's when this series sort of got me back on the road, on the path, was the 2018 Bumblebee that I absolutely loved. And this feels like the direct sequel to that, because I think the main thing that did, that this does, is create a sort of a heartfelt moment or heartbeat to the story before we kind of, yes, we're still dealing with the robots and Maximals doing all a bunch of weird and wild stuff. But at the center of this, we got Noah, who is the hero and a big brother to a sick brother. And it's his whole purpose. It's kind of like Optimus with these guys. His whole purpose is to sort of protect him at all costs. And what I like this is that this is sort of a prequel to all the Optimuses that we've seen previously, in that this Optimus doesn't trust the humans. And so we got to see that growth on his end too. And I like this, to two of them juxtaposed against each other, having how to deal with the weight of the world being on their shoulders. And it just kind of created this, cool. I immediately care about him in this one film more than I did any of Sam Witwicky in that entire first franchise, first three, and whatever. I don't know what Mark Wahlberg's name was in those two movies. So this continued that heartbeat that I felt with that. And it felt like I was watching a Saturday morning cartoon. And I think that's kind of what you need to do with these Transformers movies. And I will say this, I could tell out all the Transformers, which is one of my big problems that I've had with those Michael Bay ones that they got along with. All of those characters looked exactly alike. This one, each person has their own characteristics, their own style, and they feel different from each other. And so now I can visually see, when I'm looking at a fight, it doesn't look like just two toasters and stoves just fighting against each other. And that, for me, is enough, because everything else is Transformers knocking out the park.
100%. And it's interesting because, to your point of being able to distinguish all of them and know who these people are and what's happening on the board, when you go back to this franchise being a Hasbro franchise and something that existed specifically to sell these toys of robots, all of these toys, if you wanted to buy them, had to look different and had to be different cars and had to have different. It's like small soldiers in reverse. They needed to be able to fight somebody. You needed to know their archetypes and who these characters were. And I don't know how in the Michael Bay ones we lost sight of that. I feel like it should be very easy when a franchise is basically going, this is this character, they are this color, and they do this thing, this is their position on the battlefield, and why people would buy them along with Optimus Prime, and be like, no, it's all metal and they all shoot guns and we'll never know what's happening. Ha!
I feel like a lot of Michael Bay's was done for the purpose of, he used to think of this word like, hey, I want to have an actual practical car, and that car couldn't turn into a big giant robot. We're already, our disbelief is gone. We're already watching big robots fight for Energon cubes. So we don't have to have a one-to-one as to what can Transformers. So I think that he got stuck in this, everything has to look like an actual vehicle. Nobody's going to have this big pink bicycle or this big. I was like, shut up. We don't care.
Let's also, first of all, people will definitely own big pink 100%. Bicycles. Have you seen other films? And it's funny because once you sort of infused, you know, what Bumblebee did really well and what the Bay movies did do well with specific characters like Optimus, Bumblebee, and Megatron.
Right.
You really do start to feel more for these characters. And I think we got that with Mirage this time around. Yeah. RC had a little bit to do. Scourge had a lot more agency and Unicron was built up. And there's smaller movies and there's like less big bombastic action. But when the moments do happen, it feels a lot bigger because we just start blowing everyone up in these movies. There aren't really too many characters to get attached to beyond Optimus and Bumblebee.
Right.
And even both of them, to your other point of this movie building Optimus's arc, really most of the time we see him, he's very at the, not the end of that journey, but there's not that much character development, almost like a Splinter or any other mentor type figure. And
we're getting him after years of doing this, where he's like, all right, and everybody knows him, everybody holds him in a reverence. Nobody is like, oh, there's Prime. Like this one, he's had to earn that right to be Prime.
Freedom is the right of all sentient beings. Like we always sort of see him very set in who he is, and he right. knows why he's doing what he's doing, and he's there. And it's, you know, we don't even really ever do like the Winter Soldier stuff where we have to challenge his things. He just always knows the right thing and who to trust and how to talk to people. And it was fun sort of seeing him in a way where even other characters doubted him a little bit, seeing Optimus Primal have this like, this isn't the guy I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening here. He's about to like blow people out of the sky and doesn't trust anyone. And in a way he's right to do it. We play with Noah's idea of like, I'm going to blow up this key and not tell them. That moment of betrayal, we don't really do much with it. Sort of is a very quick Optimus is more like, oh, please don't do that. Instead of being like, I was correct.
Right.
He does that more in the beginning when it's like, I should have never sent you into the museum in the first place, even though I don't fit inside a museum because I'm a giant robot.
We had no other choice.
So, you know, if they wanted to add another 20 minutes to the movie, that would have been the dramatic. Oh, and now the humans are here, and the Maximals are here, and the Autobots are here. And instead, we sort of very quickly are just like, no, he's going to plead with them. Noah's going to change his mind. And we're going to watch Primal, like, choke out his friends.
Air razor, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, also, the violence in this movie, I get that they're robots and not bloody, but there must have been 3 or 4 moments where I in my seat was like, oh my God, like we really yeah. just...
And there's some robots to human, like that poor security guard that we never really see his face. There's a reason they don't show us his face because they blow it to holy hell.
I mean, even in Bumblebee, we're like popping people. Like, oh, I love how they pop and crunch. It's great.
I was like, oh wow, we went, that got dark real fast.
All yeah. Right. A lot of very brutal moments, even Optimus, spoilers, when he defeats Scourge and rips his head off after melting his face after
burning
in
his
fire,
face for 35 seconds straight.
And then sub-zeros him and pulls his spine out. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
A lot of great moments like that and a lot of, you know, real character arcs. We're not really doing, even in the first one, which I still like, has a lot of... I mean, it's not even Marvel-esque comedy because the MCU didn't exist yet, but Bumblebee's peeing on people and we're making like jokes about whether or not Shia LaBeouf's jerking off.
Right.
And
it's juvenile comedy. It's played for laughs. The heart doesn't come in having actual heartfelt moments or like realistic moments. It comes in being this slapstick, like a coming of age story, but we're going to play like a comedy. Whereas here, we spend a good time with like establishing him and his brother. And that's kind of what the blueprint of this is him and his connection to his brother. Now he'll do anything for his brother. And you get some, because this takes place in 1994, you get some racist mess in there too. Cause he goes to his job and security. And he used that security person uses the word you people. It's like, what the hell does that mean? It's like, yeah, got to remember the time. This probably wasn't the best time for him.
Yes.
So you get all of that, them feeling like they don't have a way up or a way out in the, he's not the prototypical hero because he has to go do something that is kind of dirty to him to get money for his brother. Otherwise, he wouldn't be thieving, like stealing a car. And it puts him on this path, which is just kind of like kismet. But even in that moment, he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I am changing my mind. And by that point, Optimus has made the call, which is kind of just a cool way to sort of do that. He's like, oh, this guy is this beat up on. Like, the world has just beat him and his family to holy hell. And this was kind of, but there's something else to it. There's a spark to it. He's a military person. He knows intelligence. The only reason he left the military is because he had to go take care of his family. And you're like, oh, that's how you do it.
Did they say, I mean, I know that they mentioned him in the military a bit, but did they specify like where? Because I think what if
his position was?
It would have had to have been like the Gulf War then.
94. Yeah, that would probably be right. Yeah. He was an electronics expert on that military.
So right.
That's kind of what his deal was, which is why they show him tinkering with stuff. So like he deals with electronics, which is why this all sort of fits together. But no, they really don't go into specific which war it is, which is probably for the best.
It's fine. Yeah, we don't need to.
We'll get there probably because of the end.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure we will. It's an interestingly placed movie when you start thinking about the military, because in my mind I was like, oh yeah, well, the war on, no, that hasn't happened yet. That's in, we have another like 10 years before we're in a George Bush, Michael Bay era Transformers movie, which is interesting because we haven't really addressed if this and Bumblebee are like the soft reboot or a prequel, or, you know, we introduced a key that's like space and time can be affected. And part of me was like, oh, we're just going to
reset,
erase those now, or bring them in somehow.
Obviously we get there's a moment where Prime briefly talks about Bumblebee's trust in the humans. Like, yeah, you trust humans more than me because you had a good experience with one. Speaking of Haley Seinfeld's character in the previous Bumblebee. But in this, Charlie, I'm not going to call her that. Her name was Charlie.
Yeah.
But in this one, Prime's not there yet. And so those two seem like, all right, they were a direct connection. But as I'm thinking about the rest of the series, like, I feel like Transformers 1, that was their first time. They just arrived there. So I'm confused now. So I think you and I have, especially when they did the Marky Mark joke, it feels like we're going to ignore all of those other ones and just start here.
I think that's the way to go, because I know this is supposed to be a trilogy, like the Unicron's the looming threat, and I'm pretty sure Unicron's in Transformers 5, I think, but is Planet Earth or something insane.
Right. Yeah.
Back when we were doing stuff with Merlin and
the last,
God, that movie, of all the ones, that is the most egregiously insane movie.
I still have not seen that one in its entirety. I was like, nope, I'm out, I'm done.
Oh my God. It's like, but so I think it makes the most sense to do that,
mm-hmm.
As we're sort of getting up close to that, unless they really want to. But I do think they're being a little strategic, because I think only Bumblebee's been on Earth, and they aren't really clear if it's Optimus's first time. Like, we see everyone land, but I think we only see the truck drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like one of those probably like small lucky things. That's like, I don't know that there's a line where Optimus is like, my first time on Earth, what a great place to be.
Yeah.
I think it's very like, Jason Momoa totally could have been in Fast X. We don't know who's in that last car.
And same with, like, the Maximals seem to have been there the entire time, and they just now made their presence
known. Yeah, and the Dinobots were there, and like Megatron should technically be in like the Arctic, like Captain America, and there's sort of a lot of small things that it just would be so much easier to just wipe it away. Every movie franchise has had a reboot. Why not?
And I think that's a fair assessment. I know Bumblebee didn't do well at the box office, but there's a couple of reasons for that. One, it came out in December it wasn't a summer release. And two,
against Aquaman, Spider-Verse, and something else, I think.
Yeah. And two, it was the first Transformers film after Last Night, which no one loved. So typically the films that are before sort of dictate how the box office for this goes. The next one goes. So Bumblebee was well received, so this one's sort of getting a little bit of kickback off of that. So I think these are the two to say, we want this world, this heartbeat piece of it is probably the way that we want to go from this point on, so let's stick with this.
Yeah, and I think you can do a lot more with the Beasts. We're obviously getting into what is more like the millennials nostalgia of Transformers, mm-hmm. now. Although I never really watched the show and didn't really care. No, I, you know, even as a kid, that like new 3D Beast Wars and like style, reboot. Like a, even when I was even when I was young, I couldn't get into that.
I was really into reboot. Beast Wars took a minute because I'm used to my Transformers being in the, it was more the 2D style. So I liked reboot. I did not like Transformers in that style, but yeah, I can see how that would be off-putting. Cause that's a very good point. I think it's also important to sort of note for this film, the ethnic change that has sort of occurred. Part of that is because the director is also Black, but you have a Hispanic lead and a Black lead. We didn't talk about Elena too much, but it's great to have two people of color, and then there's not a relationship either. We're not forcing a relationship. There just happen to be two people who have been sort of thrown into this situation. And I love that she is the smart one. She's the scientist. She's the one who can dig all that stuff up. And that's a cool little just nugget to put in, because that would not have happened in a Michael Bay
movie. No, it's a shame, because like I do like Megan Fox. It would have been, and I don't hate Shia LaBeouf, but I don't like him as much these days. But at the time,
yes.
So it would have been nice to see them do more. And I know Michael Bay is very much about is just like, we're gonna play 21 guns and watch her work on this car.
We're just gonna do this long shot of.
I made Victoria's Secret ads when I started out. Got milk, like it's like it just. Insanity.
Mm-hmm.
We do it with every female character in all of his movies.
To ogle over, yes.
Yeah, it's a shame in a thousand ways, but it was so easy to just be like, this guy is sort of just thrown into this ultimately because Pete Davidson's RC, or not RC, Mirage is like, look, I'll make you a deal. You help us out, you'll sell me as whatever car you want.
Give you money.
I'll slip off into the night. You'll be able to pay for all the things you have trouble with. And Elena's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And they both have a sense of like purpose on this mission. She's able to put all the like Indiana Jones-esque mm-hmm. things, which is also where I think this movie and Bumblebee work really well. We picked a genre to fit in before the big climax. We very much made this an adventure movie.
Yeah.
There's going to be an ancient MacGuffin, and we have to figure out where one is and then figure out where the other one is and like solve these very small mysteries to keep getting to point A to point B to point mm-hmm. C until we're off to the races, which helped the pacing a lot, because those Michael Bay ones too just got so long.
It got excessive for all of them, and this feels super deliberately and tightly paced. Like, I know it's still long, it's 2 hours and 7 minutes, but it feels like we never really stop. I think because you're right, we do go on adventures, we're going cave hunting, we're going to different locales. It all feels like, okay, this is the natural progression of how these Saturday morning quote-unquote cartoons would go.
Yeah, and we're doing like video game stuff for sure. Yeah. Oh, I've noticed that it's the same symbol and I have to turn them all, and I was like, oh, I love this is so like Legend of Zelda, this is great.
You and I both, because I knew we've talked about this before, I'm also a sucker when they show the plan and they're like, cool, here's the map, we have to go this way and do this. I was like, yeah,
we all did right. A lot of like, okay, open it up, here's what we're gonna do. Almost like for a minute I was like, is it gonna be a heist movie? We've got to go like lift like this bit, key. And it was like, okay, no, we're gonna do an adventure. Then we're gonna throw out the like, all right, here's what we're gonna do. The Maximals are here, the Autobots are here, the humans are here, and Mirage is gonna have his plan here.
Yeah,
go. It's like, great. Big emotional moments for almost every important character, even with like Pete Davidson's goofy character getting this great like near death wake up, becoming the like Iron Man suit, which you know, feels very Iron Man-y, is from the show,
but it does remind me movie. Of like the old Transformers show, when like it was different then, but it was a yellow mech suit that you would put the human in. I was like, yeah, that kind of fits what this is supposed to, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was one of their first big stories, was like this Autobot dies and this one kind of gets the exoskeleton, and the I think it's the father and son in that one,
correct.
And they have that in the 84 movie, so I'm like, okay, I'm not bothered by this.
Yeah,
and it's dope, he's doing fun stuff in it.
Yeah.
Elena's also great. I loved everything we did with her.
Yeah, just the Maximals, the outside of Air Razor and Primal, they get sort of the short end of the stick, because we don't really know. We just see them like, oh, they're cool looking, but we don't really know them. But that's okay. Like, we don't need to have every explanation, because I'm sure we're going to be doing this.
You get that. Well, it's a universe now. We could very easily be like, let's go to do another Bumblebee movie with Hailee Steinfeld in college while Bob there over here, and we could do a Beast Wars movie while they're over here, and then we can come back for Transformers Rise of the Beast 2, whatever it'll be, Insecticons or Constructicons or whoever's next. I don't think they said who's next. We did the Terrorcons.
We could do what they've been trying to do forever, and we get a little tag at the end of this with Noah going for another interview, and that interview is for a highly specialized army known as G.I. Joe, which Hasbro, you sons of guns. You've been trying to get this G.I. Joe thing off the ground for forever.
When they talked, it was like a few years ago, I think, before lockdown even, I feel like it was, oh, we want to do our big like Hasbro universe, and we want to get G.I. Joe and the Transformers, who have such a long history of crossing over. I think at the time they were also like, and then we'll throw in the Turtles. And I was like, okay, now hold on, guys. Now we're now you're getting into weird stuff where like Nickelodeon has that and Paramount has all of it, but Hasbro Productions only has these two. So let's hang on.
Yeah.
I'm not saying no, but
but I think the G.I. Joe franchise has sort of been, it's sputtered. They've had three, actually, I forgot about Snake Eyes. They've had three films, all of which have had varying degrees. It's just they haven't quite nailed that. And so they're like, let's attach this probably to a franchise that seems to just, at least, at the very least, quality aside, bring in numbers. Let's get it attached to there, and maybe this will be able to get that off the ground.
And I know they had a Mask movie in development too. Mm-hmm. There was a minute where Hasbro was like, here's our MCU team. Right. And I can't remember who they put in charge of some of them, but I was like, yeah, great. Bring up all the old, like go as far back as you can with some of these toys. Get the weird space guy who was like four toys made of wood in the 60s. I don't care. There's a lot of shit to mine in that old toy then.
That Hasbro, yeah.
But yeah, I'm all about that. I think it would be really clever if like that's where Charlie is. It would be very easy, as everyone's like, well, where is she? And is she too busy with being Spider-Gwen and being Hawkeye and being here and here? I'm like, it'd be real easy to just slip her in.
Right.
Like, oh, I had this and this. She can be driving a yellow Camaro that's not Bumblebee, and then Bumblebee comes and it's like, oh my God, I've been going from used car lot to used car lot to find.
I've been trying to find you. Right. I've been trying to
find. We can just use the Bernie Mac scene that I like so much, and we'll just put her in it somehow.
There's
now just so much potential. And when you start getting it right, it's interesting because I feel like there was so much fatigue on this franchise. Our entire show is being like, but why? And I feel like this is the maybe first example we've had on our show of, well, we figured out how to do it well enough that I now want the stories kind of revisited. Like I'd like to see a better Megatron. I'd like to see now.
I want to get the dinosaurs now with these type of handling of heart and emotions to it. Like I agree. Like, yeah, this is the one few times I'm like, ah, oh, we've been there, done that. I'm like, yeah, but we haven't been there and done that with like these hands. I feel like we need to do it in capable hands.
It's an interesting thing when you're like, oh yeah, we did do the Dinobots in like 2015, but they were barely in it and it was a long time ago. And
yeah,
the Dinobots are awesome. Grimlock, and I want to see amazing. Grimlock there. Right. And like, why not?
Yeah.
And bringing in G.I. Joe just really like cracks open a whole other screw it way of doing this. Like, you can still have Sector 7 and you can do a lot more with that. You can just go make a G.I. Joe movie and be like, yeah, cool. All the weird tech we're going to have is from the Transformers.
Right.
We don't need to answer any more. Forget about it. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Would be great to even get like Cobra involved with it. There's so many small things now that I'm like, great.
Yeah.
This completely reinvigorates the franchise. I know we have Transformers 1, the animated one, coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know how connected that is or if they care to be that connected.
They keep calling it within the prequel series, but from my understanding is that that's even before the stuff that occurs in Bumblebee. So who knows if it really attaches?
Yeah, and I think that's another one. This will be the second time when Transformers 1 comes out that Peter Cullen isn't Optimus Prime next to the Netflix show that's apparently on.
Yeah. That was good. But yeah,
that's what I hear.
It's good. Yeah, Transformers is in a bit of a resurgence, and I don't mind that. And I think that's why it's a difference in the G.I. Joe. And so I think the G.I. Joe's smart to sort of hang their hat on this, is that Transformers never really stopped. It's kind of like Turtles or Power Rangers. There's always been at least some version of Transformers that's active. So even the young folks have somebody to attach. G.I. Joe, outside of the films that they keep trying to throw at us, kind of doesn't have anything that sort of continued on. And I think this would be a perfect way to sort of bring that back to an audience that may have forgot.
It's a tough property to crack, because I feel like it was another toys and we have to sell these toys. Da, 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 da. And everyone knows these stories. But as like movies went on, like we took so much from G.I. Joe that it's almost hard now to be like, we're going to do it. And it's just America's secret mission on missions.
You have to decide whether or not you go full on 90s action war films like G.I. Joe, or do you make this an action movie today and just kind of up the tech? That's where you have to decide which way you're going. And I don't think either of the two films, Snake Eyes did a little bit better job, just nobody cared at that point. But the other two films just didn't do a good job of balancing sci-fi tech versus war, and then never got it right.
I wouldn't mind, because, you know, we haven't really done a, like, I don't want to say classic action war movie in a while, but we kind of haven't done a like low tech 70s, 60s.
Maybe do send one this just team to out. Show them assemble, like the creation, and then do whatever you want to with bringing them to the forefront with Transformers. Like, you can be like, all right, here's tech now, but like when they first started, straight up just guns. Like, this is all they had. That would be probably the best way to sort of play that.
And if you're still in the 90s, it would be really easy to be like, yeah, we can do
exactly
a 60s, 70s mission. And then we were kind of quiet during the Cold War. We had the Real American Hero Award that I loved having in there. And then, then it's really easy to just be like, and now we're going to go on a couple missions here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would dig just like a snow mission G.I. Joe.
If you did G.I. Joe, like Mission Impossible probably has about three more films left. Turn that into that franchise, you got something, guys. That's what you got to go for.
And even those, these can be like the smaller missions that Paramount's not going to do with that. Like, you could almost make this your like mini Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Go one location, we're in there, spy, go nuts, and then make it bigger later.
Right.
You could easily do a mission that's like G.I. Joe has to get inside of Sector 7 and see if they have Megatron.
Right.
Done.
I'm so for
easiest story to do right off the bat. Just like spy organization versus spy organization. Megatron's here. Mm-hmm. He can be the only Transformer. We fight him at the end. We go home.
Right.
Then you can do Transformers 2. The Decepticons show up.
Yeah.
Very happy. I think the best way to do this is to do sort of what the MCU does. Pick a genre, pick a character, coming of age Bumblebee, adventure movie Rise of the Beast, and now just break up the pieces, do whatever you want with whichever one. Loved all of Scourge's medals. Really kind of wish we had kept him around because of that.
That collecting thing. Yeah, that was dope, because there's a lot of insignias that I was not completely aware of. Transformers stuff sort of stops post these guys, the Maximals. So I'm kind of like, I don't know what else is out there.
I know about the Constructicons, but I don't know their symbol.
Yeah.
I know the Terracons, but I think they're part of Unicron. So that might have been Scourge in them. I did see an Insecticon logo and I was like, yep. I want that, which was interesting because he had like the one scorpion guy he sent out and like the other insects. And a part of me was trying to figure out if like, oh, he's kept some of the people he's beat. And if that was where like Air Razor was going to end up on his team.
And
in,
you know,
that
sometimes
infection.
They switch insignias, like if they get caught, like Scorpnok typically is a Decepticon for the most part. So at some point in time, like down the line, he might switch over, because that happens quite often in this world.
Yeah. No, there's still plenty of people that are, we haven't done any of the ones that assemble into one robot. Mm-hmm. We haven't done any of the, and there's a lot of things out there to play with, which is awesome, because like now that we're back on track, let's do it.
Yeah.
60 million at the box office, just barely beating Spider-Verse for, I think they just said the first few weeks of summer. It's a 5% uptick from last year's, which is great news for theaters in general and keeping that alive.
Films that basically speak to the same audience make 55 plus both, which is impressive.
It's almost like if you make good movies that audiences want to engage in,
who knew,
with good stories and good characters, you'll make money.
It's a funny,
and funny, find ways to infuse new concepts into your IPs, which I think the rest of the summer looks like we're going to do with also, Turtles and
also both films with people of color as the lead.
Great. All fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is truly so far been a very good summer. Is next week
Flash.
The Flash. Yeah. A morally hard movie to go watch, but boy, do I want to see Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
So we will be back for that, but that has been our show. Thank you so much for listening or watching. You can, of course, leave us a review and let us know what you think in the YouTube comments. You can follow us at Hollywood Already Did It on Twitter and TikTok. I'm at, as always, Blake. Terrence is at Terrence Tatum. Terrence also operates our YouTube channel, Hollywood Already Did It, with all of his episode-by-episode show reviews, trailer reactions, and more. I think there's more. Why not? Everyone says and more after their things. And we will be back next time.
Later.